Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Good afternoon. This is Jody Lowe with the Leadership Lowdown, powered by UN Improved and Conscious Capitalism Arizona. Leadership Lowdown is a radio series dedicated to shining a spotlight on Valley business leaders and sharing the real stories behind their rise to the top. We want to know the truth about what it takes to truly succeed in life and in business, and we are here to uncover these leaders' journeys, the pitfalls, the victories, and of course, all of the heartaches and triumphs in between. And today, I am thrilled because I am sitting across from two gentlemen who I know and love, and I do use those words intentionally. I've gotten to know both of them over the past few years and think the world of them. I've got Mr. Rennie Dyer, who is the Senior Vice President over at Valley Towing. Welcome, welcome, my friend.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And then we've got Mr. Joe Beers, President and CEO of Integrity Outsource. So happy you're here.
Good morning.
Good morning to you. So you two gentlemen, again, I've had the pleasure of knowing you both for several years now, but you two have known one another much longer than I've known you both. Is that correct?
Oh, I think a few more years than
that. A few more years than that. Awesome. Yeah. And let's start with you, Rennie, a little bit about you and your background. I know you've been in Arizona for quite a while, born and raised native or?
Well, I think my family moved here when I was two. From Southern California.
Okay, so that's like native status.
So what, it'd make me 59 years native.
Nice. Yeah, we'll round up. We'll just go with it. Yeah. And then, so tell us a little bit about your business and how you got started, because there's an interesting sort of backstory.
So my family learned the towing business, mom and dad, in Southern California from a good friend over there, Harry Salino. Learned the business, didn't want to compete with his friends. They up and packed their bags and moved to Mesa, Arizona, right there by Mesa Country Club. And 1963, almost come May, it'd be 58 years, set on an adventure of the towing business.
And so the real reason of moving to Arizona was just not to compete with a friend.
Correct.
That's awesome.
I mean, Southern California, you know, it had a lot of quality companies, and there was more opportunity in Arizona for them at the time. So come here, start out fresh. Take it on.
And so now, was it your mom and dad both actively engaged in the business?
Yes. Yeah, my dad was the first driver, first truck. Mom was the call taker, dispatcher, out of a house at first, and then progressed into an office.
Amazing. Gotta love those stories. Yes. So what do you remember then as a child and kind of growing up in that atmosphere? What was that like?
I remember getting rides in the tow truck.
Yeah, that had to be cool, right?
Young, yeah. Well, and I think I was growing up, you know, it was, you know, going during school days, going to the office and maybe on weekends riding with some of the drivers and riding along and kind of learning the business at an early age just by watching and helping, you know, so that's, you know.
And was it something that when you were little, like, yeah, I want to do this when I'm grown up, or wasn't it a conscious
thought?
I
think it was just the blood. I mean, there was no thought of anything else.
You know, it was just
I wanted to do it. And
And so was that the first thing you did out of school and all of that, or?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I actually started working down at the office with the family when I was 10 years old.
Oh my gosh.
So that was doing, you know, chores around the office, you know, cleaning, washing trucks, watching them dispatch, kind of, you know, just learning all aspects of the business at a young age, you know.
Love it. And so for you, who were your mentors or the people that you really learned from? Obviously, your parents. Were there others?
You know, mostly dad. Dad was my biggest mentor until the day he passed. But it was something where dad would be in the office and I would ride along with some drivers and they would teach me, you know, the do's and the don'ts and, you know, of the automobile business, of towing certain vehicles, certain kinds of vehicles, how to do it right, how to do it wrong, you know.
Yeah.
So not one big mentor, many as I was growing up.
Sure.
But I think as I got older, it became dad mostly.
Yeah, yeah. And were there things that along the way for you, you didn't expect, or I guess, you know, you grew up in a space seeing it, but were there things that you just didn't anticipate or didn't expect once you took over the business and started running the business? Was there a big learning curve?
Well, you learn about the challenges that you didn't know that existed when you were young, you know, driver challenges, employee challenges, you know, insurance claims, new purchases, used trucks, this truck's broke down, you know, right. So you learn everything that's like, wow.
You know. That's not the fun part. Riding in the truck was way more fun.
It's not fun anymore, but yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, so yeah, it was an eye-opening experience.
Sure.
And it still is.
And so what does the business look like today versus back then? What's changed?
So the biggest change, I think, today in our automobile business is, you know, for years, maybe till about 12, 14 years ago, is we concentrated mostly on car dealerships, mm-hmm. you know, doing the service drive, service riders. So the biggest change that's happened in that whole avenue is today the dealerships, when you buy a new car, mm-hmm. you're given a roadside assistance program. So what happens is, let's say you buy any kind of brand name, mm-hmm. you have a towing company that'll come assist you to where years ago, it was a service writer on the service drive calling you. So they had their choice.
Got it.
Today you don't have a choice. So if I break down in my GMC pickup truck,
right,
you know, somebody else is gonna come tow it.
Right.
Not necessarily my own company because of the roadside assistance program. So back then the service drives, all the dealerships had the choice of using Valley Towing.
Mm-hmm.
Today they have to go by who's their roadside assistance company.
Got it.
Which, you know, we don't get hooked up for certain reasons, but yeah, that's, and it's a big change for us.
Oh, absolutely. And when did that's what, in the last 10 plus years?
Yeah, I'd say maybe 14 years. It was before recession. So it was a number of years before recession time, but it accounted probably for about 60% of our volume.
Wow.
And it kind of just went away overnight. And then the recession hit. So yeah, I mean, we kind of had to reinvent a few things on our side of the business.
Yeah. So share a little bit about that, because I think our listeners are folks that, you know, are much like all of us in the room, entrepreneurial, business-minded, and love to learn. So what did you learn through that experience, and how did you do that reinvention?
What we learned was the roadside assistance companies don't want to pay the towing companies the value of your tow. So, mm-hmm. you know, it's not to say they're bad. Mm-hmm. It's just say our value is worth more than what they wanted to pay. So we don't do that type of business.
Okay.
You know, to tow a car for $65 when it should be a $180 tow, mm-hmm. just doesn't do the math right.
Sure.
So we look at losing the service drives, losing our warranty tows. We still get non-warranty tows. We still do a lot of work. You know, we still have over 350 counts in town.
Mm-hmm.
But what we've been concentrating on is the small shop, independent shops, mm-hmm. and the body shops, you know, collision repair.
Mm-hmm.
And then we just ventured out a month ago with the heavy duty towing.
Oh, okay.
So with that said, we just bought our first heavy duty tow truck. Got a Landell coming from George Cravens.
Oh, okay.
You know, two so we've gone into the total heavy line to where we're reaching out, you know, it's kind of reinvented ourselves, looking at, you know, we had to look at what are we not doing today that maybe we should be doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where can we get our cash volume back up to where it needs to be?
Sure.
You know, it's, and get our sales back to where it once used to be. Because, so let's look in comparison. Let's back up a second. So years ago, the times we're talking about, we were doing 150 tows a day. 650 to 700 tows a week.
Wow.
So imagine 60% decline. So we're lucky to do 45, 50, 60 tows a day now.
Mm-hmm.
300 tows a week if we're lucky.
Wow.
So it's really changed a lot.
Yeah.
Our volume has changed. Mm-hmm. Our cash flow has changed. So we kind of had to reinvent.
And is that what led to exploring other verticals? Was it the recession then, or
recession
and that piece of it?
When that hit and the recession, it just kind of kicked us hard.
Yeah, time to figure it out.
We're blessed to still be in business.
Yeah,
that's all hard to hit with our other ventures we have going out there. You know, it wasn't fun for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we do asset recovery,
mm-hmm.
and we do automobile towing, truck towing, everything else. There was a couple things, you know, do I get into the illegally parked car business.
Mm-hmm.
I said, no, I don't want that. That's a hard kind of business to do.
Right.
Asset recovery is different. We can still do that and work with the banks and everything else. So we have never been in the heavy duty business. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big investment. You know, we're looking at a $1 million investment by the time I'm said and done with new vehicle purchases.
Sure.
So we hope to capitalize on that. You know, it's going to be off to a slow start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's many customers out there that we tow for today that we can't tow some of their vehicles because we didn't have the right equipment.
Right.
Now
so
we
do. It seems
like
the next logical.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like the Sunderland Asphalt Group, you know, we do a lot of their vehicles, but now we can tow their big stuff. So there's a long list of people that I couldn't, now I can.
Right. Makes
so
a big difference.
So we kind of reinvented ourselves in that direction.
What would you say is the biggest learning lesson between, call it 08 and now that you took from that experience?
Wow. Just don't try to guess the future.
Yeah.
You got to go by the day.
Yeah. Take it as it comes.
Yeah, take it as it comes. Road of hard knocks.
Yeah.
I mean, our family's so strong. Our advisors advised us to close our doors.
Wow. So what, I mean, kudos to you. I mean, think about that.
Well, with our other businesses, we have over 75 vehicles,
mm-hmm.
you know, to turn the door. I mean, we had like $65,000, $70,000 a month in car payments when the recession hit. So it was a big cookie to crunch.
Yeah.
And our advisors said, you know, you might suggest closing your doors because I don't see you surviving that.
Wow.
And they don't know the Dyer family very well.
Yeah. I love
it. So we held on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we did. We held strong and we said, BS, we're not giving up.
Not going to succumb to that.
And we're still here.
That's awesome. And how many are part of your team today? How many employees are part of your team?
Under 50.
Okay.
I think we're 48.
That's
maybe.
A lot, though.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
And we're a 24-hour business,
yeah.
So our lights in our office never go out.
Sure.
We have three shifts. We have, you know, a graveyard shift that, you know, handles, you know, all the overnight stuff.
Wow.
But, our lights never go off. We're always there.
Yeah.
So you don't ever have to deal with an answer service or anything like that.
Which is nice, too, because in today's day and age, it's like, how often does that happen anymore?
We do the state trooper. DPS is one of our bigger accounts,
mm-hmm.
and we have to be ready to go with them
mm-hmm.
at any time of the day or night,
mm-hmm.
and given, you know, short amount of time to respond to any accident or situation on the freeways.
Sure, sure. And now for you, I know, you know, before this conversation, I know a little bit about your history, but I know that there's some things that you're insanely passionate about that have nothing to do with towing and some places that you love to spend your time. So when you're not doing what you do in terms
of
your business.
Well, you know, we got involved in BMX racing, 1997 with my kids racing BMX.
Uh-huh.
And to the level of the world championship level, my kids have been world champions. Seen every state in the country, seen many, you know, Rotterdam, New Zealand, Australia, Canada.
Amazing.
England, been to all the world championships there. So our passion is, you know, they're adrenaline
BMX.
Junkies.
Yeah. It's in your blood.
So we spend a lot of time there. When we're not at the lake, not at work, you know, we're racing somewhere.
Yeah. And what started that passion? Because that's not one that you hear all the time.
You know, my son was 7. My daughter was 4. Went out to the BMX track, kind of watched.
Yeah.
Got my son involved, Justin. And then probably maybe a number of years later, Carly jumped on a bicycle and tried it. And the rest is history.
Wow. And now you got a couple grandbabies. I've seen some photos of Oakley.
But we also motorcycle race too. So we do a lot of motorcycle racing. So in fact, both kids were racing motocross and BMX at the same time.
Oh my gosh.
And in 2009, Carly picked up a huge sponsor, Redline Bicycles,
mm-hmm.
which said you cannot race motocross and be sponsored. So she kind of had to stop that. But she went on to win the world championship and things for Redline. So it was
amazing.
You know, it was cool for us to see her achieve that goal. And
it's really incredible when you think about just watching and being a a fan, and then all of a sudden your kids are both world champions.
The crazy thing about this, we've been involved in Chandler BMX, our racetrack, for years as the track operators out there. So the kids got involved, and they're still involved. They still teach out there every Wednesdays. And more so, they're not so much racing today that they have for years. Mm-hmm. They're kind of more on the spectator side, still teaching all the young kids as they come on.
Yeah.
Last Friday was a world qualifier here in town, and Carly went out and raced maybe once in the past 3 years.
Oh, my gosh.
And went out there. She's a little badass. I mean.
it just is what it is. Let's
call
it.
For her not do that and still go out and qualify for Team USA, the race in the world's in. In May, it's amazing, but that shows the kind of caliber riders my kids are.
Right.
And it's like, it's like riding a bike, right?
Yeah.
But that just happened Friday. Yeah. So
that's amazing.
We're excited.
Yeah.
But she's the type of person to say, I just want to go do it.
Uh-huh.
She may not be able to go. She, her new career, she's an emergency room nurse at Banner Baywood. So she works graveyards and.
Who knows?
I think the fact that she wanted to just go do it.
Right.
May not race it, just
right.
to say that, hey, I still have
it
in me.
I still got it. Or something.
She's
earned
a spot on
that.
The team, but we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, that's exciting.
Because you got to train properly. If you don't train properly, you got 52 countries you're going up against. And
that's no small potatoes.
You've got to be prepared.
That is a big thing. Wow. Well, she certainly had some good teachers along the way, I'm sure.
My kids are my blessings.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. Well, I'm sure they feel the same way. I think it's a mutual admiration society over at the Dyer House.
Well, we always spend time with your kids.
Yep.
If I have a good word of any advice out there.
Good. Oh, well, we'll be getting to that. I've got some questions coming your way shortly,
all right.
Revolving around that. And I'm gonna flip over to you for a minute, Mr. Beers, because you too have a little interesting backstory. So tell us a little bit about Integrity Outsource, how it started, how you kind of got into this line of work. And
well, I started my career in commercial real estate.
Okay.
And I got an opportunity to go to work in what was then called an employee leasing company that was a startup. And I just fell in love with the business. Mm-hmm. It's just a blast.
What did you love?
My passion is small business.
Okay.
And so I just was always really intrigued. When I was in commercial real estate, I was intrigued by tenants and why they started their business. And that segued perfectly into this business. I'm always fascinated why somebody starts a business and runs a business and how they got in it and why they did
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
It's just,
Absolutely.
It's fascinating to me. Yeah. So I get to do that all day long now, which I love.
Yeah.
And we're an HR outsourcing company, but I really think of us more of as a business efficiency company.
Okay.
So my time is spent talking to business owners about how to make their companies better.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a blast.
That's awesome. So, now, what are all the things that you do and can do for a company?
We do not have time to go through all of that. The way we communicate with our clients is payroll. So you've got to use payroll in order to do it, but we're not a payroll company. I think if you use a payroll company, you pay $1 for $1 worth of services. You're going to pay us $3 and get $8 worth of services. Mm-hmm. It's just a way better value and a little bit more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So we do basically back office employment administration. And what that means is we do payroll, we do payroll taxes, we do workers' comp administration, we do benefit administration, and we bring a whole array of expertise to the table. So for a small business owner, the average client's 30 employees.
Mm-hmm.
They get a employee handbook that is current and up to date and kept up to date, and somebody is bird dogging any changes in the laws that have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that just gives them a little bit of peace of mind, not have to worry about that.
Sure.
And then we bring a whole bunch of benefits to the table that they either don't have time to go look for or wouldn't qualify on their own, like a 401k program and just other services that they can offer to their employees. So the second component is benefits. The first is really employment administration and compliance. So compliance, benefits, and the third, I just call it sleep at night. It's access to expertise. We've got, CPA on staff. We've got CIRM certified HR professionals. So if you're a small business owner, a lot of the issues that you face, they only come up a couple times in a career. We see them 50 times a week.
Right.
And so you've got someone to call. You're not sending out an email to your business friends hoping for an answer.
Sure.
You're picking up the phone and somebody who's qualified is answering the question for you. Kind of like renting, you know, mm-hmm. seven days a week, 24 hours a day. Our lights aren't on all that time, but our cell phones are.
Right, right. Well, no, and how great too, though, for that small business owner that doesn't have the bandwidth or necessity for someone in-house, you know, they got you right
and
there.
And none of the stuff we do creates any revenue for a client. Mm-hmm. So, you know, our adage is if it doesn't make you money, you should be outsourcing it. So right. One of the ways we describe it is it's kind of like the garbage collection of business. Mm-hmm. You don't drive to the dump every Friday and deliver your garbage to the dump. Mm-hmm. You have waste management or one of their competitors sure. come pick it up and you pay them for it, right?
Yep.
You don't make any money taking out the garbage.
Absolutely.
But we do all that for employment. So garnishments, unemployment hearings, payroll, taxes, all the stuff that makes everybody just want to gag and throw up.
Yeah.
And there isn't a single person that went into business to do that stuff.
Yeah.
So it's like, get that stuff out of your shop. We can do it more efficiently, probably more cost effectively, and just go sell widgets, whatever your widget is.
Yeah, absolutely. And now, did you start the company on your own or? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And how many years now?
Nine.
Wow. And so what was the transition into this? How did that happen?
Into Integrity or?
Yeah, into starting your own business.
Well, I was part of a startup in 96 and was there for 10 years. So mm-hmm. I was a number three guy. We had a couple hundred employees. Mm-hmm. We were either the largest or the top couple privately held in the country. Mm-hmm. And it was a lot of fun, but I really wanted to do my own thing. Yeah. So I didn't have a non-compete, but I waited 5 years, pretended like I did just because mm-hmm. I didn't want to start a competitive firm against my friends.
Yeah.
Waited 5 years and then started Integrity Outsource right in the perfect time in 2011 when everybody was smiling and happy, right, Rennie? Remember those wonderful times in 2011, 2012?
Yep. Perfect. And here you are today, though, 9 years later.
We're cruising along.
That's awesome. And how many are part of your team now?
10.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. And then when you think back, you know, obviously, like Rennie and I were chatting about the mentors that kind of take you under their wing. Did you have that experience? Did you have people that kind of showed you the ropes, or was it just from learning as you went?
Well, in this particular business, no. But mm-hmm. in business in general, yes. Mm-hmm. I grew up working at a country club, and my experience there was watching a lot of successful people come out and ascertaining how they made money. Uh-huh. And in doing that, I realized from a really early age, like probably by age 13, that I did not want to be a dentist, a doctor, or a lawyer.
Okay. Those are good things to rule out that you don't want to do.
Well, and my dad was a doctor. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I'm the first in three generations to be in business in my family. They're all professors, doctors, or lawyers.
Interesting.
And the doctors and the lawyers and the dentists all essentially trade time for money. Mm-hmm. And so when they go on vacation, they still have the same overhead and they're spending money and they're mm-hmm. making no money. Mm-hmm. And the guys that ran businesses were generally making money even though they weren't there. Mm-hmm. May not be as efficient as when they were there, but they weren't going backwards.
Right.
And that kind of piqued my interest. So I had a few guys that I emulated out of that.
Okay.
And then when I got into college, I was fortunate enough to join an organization that just has the leaders in every field. Yep. And so I've just had mentors in every aspect of life.
Yeah, it's incredible. And and I know that you're a big, big part of that still today, and that's an organization that's near and dear to your heart.
Yes.
Can you share a little bit about what you're involved with?
Yeah, the organization is Sigma Chi Fraternity.
Yep.
I joined as a sophomore in college. Mm-hmm.
Was that at ASU?
And no, University of Arizona.
University of Arizona.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I would have gone to ASU if I could have gotten in.
I knew it. I knew we would go there.
And what it did is it was the first time I had ever seen the values I was raised with by my parents mm-hmm. articulated in a way I could really make my own. Mm-hmm. And the value statement that the fraternity put forth was exactly how I felt about my life. And mm-hmm. so the group at the University of Arizona at the time I was there was a bunch of really high-achieving, smart guys. So mm-hmm. we dominated everything on campus mm-hmm. from scholarship. We were number one every year mm-hmm. to student government to everything else. So it was mm-hmm. a bunch of leaders. Mm-hmm. And I just fell in love with it. And mm-hmm. it's truly a lifelong commitment to a set of ideals. So now I spend my time, I oversee Arizona for Sigma Chi. So there's four universities that we oversee, the three state schools plus Embry-Riddle. And there's about probably 300 undergraduate men. And so I spend my time teaching values-based leadership skills and decision-making to college students. And I've been doing that for almost 40 years. And the fruit that bears is just, it's just humbling and it's astounding.
Yeah.
And then the people on the other end that I get to have as mentors, literally at the top of any field, from astronauts to senators to NFL Hall of Famers mm-hmm. to federal judges to, I mean, just pick an industry, and there's a Sigma Chi at the top of that.
Yeah.
Academy Awards, Grammys. I mean, just pick one.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool to be able to have a relationship with high achieving men with high values.
Mm-hmm.
And that just applies to whatever you're doing.
Well, and I love it because you're actually one of the few people that I know that is really still so engaged and has taken an organization and, you know, it's one of those, what you put into it is what you get out of it. But I know your passion for it and how much you also contribute and give back and, you know, how rewarding on both ends. So that's fantastic. Now, are you native to Arizona?
Born and raised in Phoenix.
I love it. What part specifically?
Grew up at North Central Phoenix, Central and Glendale, and went to Central High,
which
we called America's High School back then. It's a little different now.
Yeah. things change.
And then went down to the University of Arizona.
Awesome.
And then moved back. I lived in Tucson for a little while after college and then moved back to Phoenix. There's a little better economic opportunity in Phoenix than there is in other parts of the state.
Sure. And so for you, having seen Arizona and Phoenix go through quite a transition in your lifetime, what would you say is the biggest shift that you've seen for the positive from growing up here to where we are today?
Well, I may be in the minority, but I love the growth that we've had. Mm-hmm. I think it's exciting. I love the freeway system. I love the pro-business approach that we've had to our legislature. I love all of it. Mm-hmm. I love that we've got sports teams and good concerts coming through town and that people, I feel like I'm an ambassador to Phoenix.
Yeah.
Our national organization is having a conference out here in a couple of weeks. And I just feel like I'm the goodwill ambassador for Arizona and Phoenix in particular. Yep. There's no state like Arizona. It's astoundingly
so
beautiful.
It is so true. It's hard not to love it. And I don't know if you both feel this, but I love to travel. And every time I travel, I'm like, oh, gorgeous city or wonderful place. And then it's still the, you know, there's no place like home. It's just the ease of living and the pace. And it's just, it's a pretty easy place to live. So that's fantastic. And you never left, no desire to leave.
No, my whole family left, which is interesting. My parents retired and moved to Pine Top, and my brothers and sisters live all across the country. And I love it here.
Yeah.
No reason. I like the winters are a little bit cold for me, but
you'll bear down and get through.
I actually like the summers. I'm probably one of the few.
Yeah.
But I just love this place.
Yeah. Fantastic. And now when you kind of look at the next, whatever it is, 10, 20, 30 years, what do you see on the horizon for you and for Integrity and just even your future in general personally?
Well, we've got some real specific goals company-wise to grow. And brought in a young man that's just been outstanding. He's been with us about a year and a half, and he's helping us grow and kind of retool the company to build it for a younger audience. I'm on the tail end of the baby boomers, and he's a millennial.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of retooling we've finished retooling our company for more of a millennial appeal, and we're really excited about it.
Yeah.
I mean, everything from social media to website to product offering to the way we engage our clients is just different, and it's terrific. It's refreshing for me. It gives me energy.
Oh, I'm sure.
And when I went to hire him, it was interesting because people were saying, "Oh, you're doomed. You're going to hire a millennial." I'm like, "No, I'm not doomed at all. I've been mentoring Sigma Chi's for 40 years.
Yeah.
The guy I'm hiring is either in that group or they'll know him."
Yep. Yep.
And I went to John and told him who I was looking for. And he said, "Yeah, I'm that guy." I'm like, "No, you're not the guy. You'll know the guy." And he said, "No, I'm the guy." And so we went through some heavy duty personality testing and interview process. And turns out he was the guy.
It's
been a great fit.
Isn't that fantastic?
So our goal is to grow the company substantially. And then that'll get us to a fork in the road. We'll make some decisions from there. But I plan on spending my time a lot in Arizona, but then also in one of the other western states where it's a little cooler in the summer.
Yeah, get a little break from that. And when you're not working, what is it that you do for fun?
Right now, it's pretty much all Sigma Chi. I do a lot of hiking. My son's an Eagle Scout, so I do a lot of backpacking, which I love. And that's turned me on to places in Arizona that I had never been, which has been really, really good.
Yeah.
I used to play a lot of golf. I really don't anymore. Mm-hmm. I sometimes miss it, but it's there's no better way to spend time.
Yeah.
You're outdoors in a beautiful place with your friends.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of work to be proficient in that
to
game.
Be really,
so
really
like
great.
They say, I forget the saying exactly, but if you, uh, If you enjoy something, it's a hobby. If you watch it, it's a sport. And if you work at it, it's golf.
Yeah.
And that's something to that
like
effect.
That. I like about that. That's probably about right. That's probably about right. Well, I'm not sure how many episodes of the Leadership Lowdown either of you have listened to, if any. But one of the things that I love to do is ask a few questions that originated from a French talk show years and years ago that then were also incorporated into a Bravo series called Inside the Actor's Studio, if you've ever seen that show. And they're just fun, but also give, I think, our listeners an insight a little bit more into who you are. So if you're up for playing, whoever wants to answer first, there's no right or wrong answers. And it's internet radio, so you can say whatever the heck comes out of your mouth. So there's no holds barred. So you guys up for this?
No beep button, huh?
No beep button. We don't need to blurt out anything. No, you'll see here in just a minute. So we'll start with this one. What is your favorite word?
That's easy for me.
Okay.
Ignorant.
Oh, that is one I have yet to hear. So yeah.
Us. When you're so ignorant, you don't even know the word, you're ignorant.
Oh my gosh. I like it. Ignorant. Oh, I'm going to steal that one. I love it. I love it. How about you, Rennie?
I like the word awesome.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah.
I use it a lot.
Just all encompassing. Positive.
Just to the top.
Love it. Yeah. Love it. So conversely, what is your least favorite word?
Fail.
Mm, okay.
Probably anywho.
Anywho. Yeah. That's a little annoying.
That's just really annoying.
Yeah. Yeah. Not a real word, but people like to think it is. Love it. So what turns each of you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
Spiritually, it's God. Mm-hmm. Creatively, I'm a creative writer, so I love writing.
Oh, love it. That's great. How about you?
No, I believe in God. Yeah, it's in our sports. You know, we never see church enough, of course, but passionately, just family.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Spend time with the family, and sometimes you don't get enough time to do that,
mm-hmm.
and you want to make sure you get that in before it's too late. You know, so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love family time.
No, that's big for you. Love it. What turns you off?
Negativity, negative people.
Mm-hmm.
Same. The word no.
Yeah.
Like they're already given up or something.
Yeah. Quit before they started. Back to the failing, right?
Jody, by the way, is the exact opposite of that.
Yes.
Well, thanks. Yeah. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'll take
yes.
it as a compliment.
Yes.
I do tend to be a bit of a yes person. Why not, right? What's the worst that can happen? My philosophy is always, what's the worst that can happen and can you live with that? And if you can live with it, then why not say yes, right? That's how I look at it.
My philosophy is always, you know, it's free to ask the question.
Exactly. That too. So here's the big one. What is your favorite curse word? Whatever you want, you can bring it. Ooh, look at that long pause.
I've never heard Rennie cuss, so I'm curious.
You're like, I can't wait to see where this goes.
Oh, my God. I say it to myself way too much. That's the F word.
Yeah. I mean, the big one for you.
And it's under my breath. And
doesn't fly out of your mouth a whole lot, no?
No. It's rarely ever public knowledge, but it's mostly driving down the road.
Yeah.
Where do we get some of these drivers? But in my line of business...
You kind of love them, right?
Yeah, it's like what you see on the roadway is like, I'll see you later this afternoon, right?
Right.
Like,
right. Yeah, it's so, either now or later.
Just, you know, things that happen in life. It's like, yeah, that's my...
That's your go-to. Love it.
This is different, and maybe this isn't 100% the first answer, but the second answer. Are you familiar with the book, The Art of Possibility?
I'm not.
It's written by a... couple.
Okay.
One is the conductor of the Boston Philharmonic.
Okay.
And his wife is a child psychologist. And they wrote a book about kind of thinking outside the box. It's right up your alley. Mm-hmm. You'd love it. But one of the things that one of their chapters is about when you make a mistake,
mm-hmm.
instead of beating yourself up or saying a curse word, mm-hmm. they look at it and they smile and they say, how fascinating. And so that's gotten to be a joke in our family and in our company. When something really bad happens, we just go, how fascinating.
love it.
Not really a curse
word. We all know what that means, right?
Yeah. Yeah. We all do. And I'm sure fascinating.
Sea translation.
Yeah, exactly. Little asterisks. And I love that. I'm so not only going to read the book, but I'm totally incorporating that. I love it. Not a curse word, but
yeah,
I think
that,
it works.
Probably shit probably comes out of my mouth probably more than if I had to pick the word.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. Mine's usually what the then proceeds with.
Yeah. Yeah. I love it. I love it. It happens, right? So what sound or noise do you love?
A race engine.
Yeah.
I could answer that for Rennie.
Yeah. You're like, I knew what that one was.
And it doesn't have to be a motorcycle or a boat, or it could be anything.
Yeah. It's just that race engine.
I grew up. That's why I can't hear today.
Oh, interesting.
Around, you know, as a child growing up at the boat races with open headers in your ears, you know, it's...
Kind of destroys
I'm blaming on that anyhow. But.
Yeah, that's an easy out. I like it.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
The soft rattle of a ball and cup when you make a putt. There's a soft rattle.
I love it. Love it. So, what sound or noise?
You're such a good guy.
He is such a good guy. You both are. You both are. Are you just figuring this out about each other right now?
The soft rattle. Come on.
I also really like
I never hear that sound. I don't know. I must lose my ball.
You're like, what is that? Never heard it.
Or sometimes on TV, they'll dub the sound of a guy striking a ball. And that sounds really good. But it's interesting when the guy hits a bad shot and they have a perfect sound on it. It's like, that's not what
like, that wasn't right. That wasn't quite accurate. So what sound or noise do you hate?
The screeching of brakes or tires behind you.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah, that's a scary one.
I hate crunching when people are crunching really loud when they're eating.
You so know that I'm going to like get a bag of Cheetos and go, I'm going to chomp on them. And I'm like, so anywho.
How fascinating.
How fascinating.
Is that when you're putting on the green or what?
This is so happening. I can't wait. When we least expect it. When we least expect it. What profession other than your own would you love to attempt?
I'd be a writer.
Okay.
I'd write.
Yeah. And is it a certain type of writing that you enjoy or just?
I write essays and creative writing and working on a book right now. I'm about half through and on my second book. So, yeah.
Wow. Very exciting.
I think a professional driver.
Yeah.
Whether it be a race car driver, stunt driver.
Something in the driving.
You know, something like what Dick Lippert does,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Certain days I feel like I'm playing that, but yeah. No, just to be paid to do
that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what would you never like to attempt? What profession would you not like to attempt?
Oh, I don't think I can handle Bill Gubbert's position.
Yeah, working mortuary.
A funeral director would be my worst.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's probably right up there. Doctor would be close. Anything, yeah. I don't mind my own blood, but anybody else's, I get queasy driving by the hospital.
Yeah, I'm with both of you. Both of those are just top of my list of nope, never, couldn't do it. Nope, not at all. So we'll wrap up with this one. If heaven exists, what would you like to hear God say when you arrive at the pearly gates?
Well, first of all, heaven absolutely does exist. So that's, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, let's not be delusional that it might not. And what I would like to hear is well done, good and faithful servant.
Oh, love it. How about you?
What he'll say when I arrive?
Yeah. What would you like to
hear?
Holy
shit. Look who arrived.
As you come screeching in,
As I come screeching in.
I love it. Well, I will wrap up with this final question. I always think it's valuable for our listeners to hear those words of wisdom, something that was either shared with you that's meant something or made a difference for you or something that you've learned along the way. So what's some parting thought or word of wisdom that you would share with our listeners in regards to life or business?
Believe in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The risk is there. You have to ask yourself if you're going to take it or not, but believe in yourself.
Yep.
Trust in your family.
Yeah.
Believe in your family. I mean, your family's everything. So.
It's worked out pretty well for you, huh?
Yeah.
I love it.
Isn't he a good man? I love Rennie Dyer.
He is a good man.
For me, my two models in life are do the next right thing and show up, tell the truth, and see what happens.
Love it. Such great words to close with. Thank you both so much. If our listeners wanted to connect with you, what is the best way? Is there an email or a LinkedIn or a website that's best to reach each of you?
IntegrityOutsource.com is probably easiest for me.
Awesome.
Yeah, I mean, same, Valley Towing, AZ.com.
Okay. Yeah. Perfect. Perfect. Well, I thank you both for making the time and sharing your insights and your journeys. And I know it's very valuable for our listeners. I appreciate you both being here and making the time. I know it's
thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely value. You've been listening to the Leadership Lowdown hosted by me, Jody Lowe, and powered by UN Improved and Conscious Capitalism Arizona. At UN Improved, we are passionate about partnering with companies' leadership to develop their most valuable asset, which is, of course, their people. To learn more about our personal and professional development classes and trainings, visit youandimprove.com or you can contact me at jody@youandimprove.com. Thank you all for listening, and we look forward to talking with you soon.